As we gather this morning, just to reflect briefly together, I want to share two things that really jumped out at me as I read the lectionary passages for today. Now, we only read the gospel in church this morning, but I encourage you to look up the others later. If you just Google lectionary Anglican, you should find it. They are beautiful passages, and they're very rich. So the epistle that we did not read today tells of St. Paul responding to someone's question about whether it's okay legally and theologically in the eyes of the church to eat a certain kind of meat. And I want to share his response and how it struck me as relevant to us before we turn to the raucous that Jesus made in the synagogue. So Paul, who was one of the most highly educated men of his time, wrote this in response to the question he was posed. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. So he's urging those who are questioning the legality and legitimacy of this certain practice to move past knowledge to love. I wonder about us. When we have a question or a crisis of faith or of a personal nature, or even a crisis in this community or maybe even in our country, do we find that knowledge and information or love helps us find our footing and faith again? This verse of Paul's is a verse to live by, a verse I want to live by. Are we puffed up by our knowledge of God or built up by his love? Do we know a lot about the world, about God and the Bible and social justice? Or are we captured and built up by the love of God? Do we come to St. Mark's because it is intellectually stimulating, which it might well be, or because we experience love building us up together? I grew up in a highly academic environment. My father was a professor, or don, as they say, at Cambridge University in mathematics, of all things. I got his math gene, and I strived all my life to be as good as him and win his praise and admiration. And so I attended Cambridge and I studied math, but I couldn't quite measure up to his very high standards. I worked so hard to do well enough to please him, and my mother, who was desperate to produce a scholar. When I got an A, I was most certainly puffed up. But the problem with being puffed up is that your bubble can easily be burst. When I struggled and ended a particular term with a less than stellar grade, disappointing my parents and myself, I felt like my foundations were shaking. But underneath my false foundation of academic brilliance, I actually found that God was present with his love. I was rebuilt up from the ground up, reworking the foundations of my being that had believed that knowing and excelling is the goal in life, into a place where God showed me that loving and being loved is the deepest truth of all that I am and ever will be. This week in the women's jail where I work, I took a new volunteer from another Episcopal church in to visit. A woman inmate had asked to see the chaplain, so we went to see her. She is a 28-year-old ex-prostitute, heroin user, diagnosed with bipolar and schizophrenia. Her father is a conservative, straight down the line Southern preacher who is very disappointed in his child. She just got a diagnosis of advanced uterine cancer, multiple STDs, and is having a hysterectomy this week. So I braced myself for an onslaught as we walked in. Here's what she said. I wanted to see you to tell you I finally think I understand that God loves me. I have lost everything and found out that He is here. He's giving me peace. I'm filled with peace and joy that I can't describe. I'm reading the Bible, but I'm struggling with the Old Testament because it seems like God is so blank, blank mean. But I want to keep going. What do I do? Where do I start? It's a question that pastors love to hear. So together we read Luke 15, which is my go-to chapter in the jail. It has three stories about lostness, culminating in the prodigal lost son. She immediately identified herself in the story and told me she felt the embrace of the Father as she returned home, destitute, ragged, but relieved. What stories of being built up by love can you tell us? In 2002, I joined the church staff at the church my husband and I moved to when we came to America. And I served there as an associate pastor for 14 years. In 2016, I left that role feeling called by God for many reasons to a new season. And I also left that church community because I was stepping down from the staff and I started my chaplaincy training. There was a huge gap left by not being part of a church family. It was time to find a new home. I wandered homeless for quite a while, but I knew I needed somewhere as I moved into my current position at the jail. It really is quite perilous to try and serve God without a community to experience connection and accountability in. I remember my first time in this building. I came alone as my husband was still serving as sound technician for the worship band at our old church. I walked in and I was greeted warmly. I sat down alone and soaked in the beauty of this room. The pink Jesus on the wall, the flowers, the windows, the organ playing before the service, the program, the bulletin in my hand designed to help me understand what was going on. The style was very different from my old church, and I actually didn't know what was going on much of the time, but I felt loved by the beauty and the warmth here. Know that when you greet someone, when you arrange flowers, when you smile at someone who looks out of place, you express love and it makes a difference. As the service unfolded, I found myself moved to tears by the music. And I am not a classical music enthusiast, I'm sorry. But there was a sanctuary created by the beauty of the music and the organ and the singing that sheltered me and welcomed me in a way I hadn't experienced in a long time. When Matt prayed and thanked God for newcomers and visitors in the Thanksgiving prayers, I felt honored and welcomed by you all and by God. When I saw and I heard Lindy preach, I understood that the ministry of women was welcome here. And when you greeted me after the service, I felt like, maybe this could be my new home. And here we are. And as I've had the honor and privilege to share ministry in the jail with some of you, relationships have been built and blossomed. This place is not perfect. But I have experienced love, and love builds up. Who in your life needs building up by love? Do you? Where does your puffed upness and mine need to be popped a little bit? And how can St. Mark's build community with love rather than knowledge? Turning briefly to the gospel today, we see that Jesus' ministry was anything but tidy and predictable. He's speaking in the service in the synagogue, much like I am right now, and a troubled man cries out of his madness, "What have you to do with us, Jesus?" Imagine if one of you got up and shouted that right now. Don't. Jesus' presence often provokes and stirs up. It seems to force pain and brokenness to the surface. It pops the poisonous boil and exposes the infection to be faced, confronted, and healed by God. It is when we bring our brokenness into the presence of Jesus, we find his love and grace is powerful to banish it. A couple of weeks ago in the unit, the dorm where St. Mark's leads a Bible study and writing group in the jail, an elderly man accused of crimes against children killed himself. We sat together with the men the Sunday after this happened, and we listened to them. Story after story after story of brokenness and memories and anger and pain bubbled up to the surface there. One man spoke of how he had tried to kill himself the year before. Another of how his girlfriend had succeeded. Another of how he'd tried to reach out to the man who died the night before that happened. "What do you have to do with that, Jesus?" was the question. I went back to see one of them later in the week, and he told me in depth his own story of waking up day after day in the jail wishing he was dead. Not caring about God, not knowing God, but listening now to the testimony of his cellmate who is a Christian. Coming each week to our writing group and starting to wonder, even if I spend the rest of my life in prison, which is likely, maybe I have some worth in me. Maybe because people like me and turn up to listen to me talk about things week after week, maybe God is listening to me and likes me and wants to hear my story. In myself, in my own life, it's when I've had the courage to bring to the surface my darkness, my shadows, my shameful moments of betrayal and fear and mistrust and failure. It's then when I ask, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus?" that I found the presence of God and the darkness fades and grace and love grow. So whether it's in the jail, or my life, or your life, when I hear the stories of Jesus' love and grace banishing darkness, it causes all of us who witness it to cry out like the people in the synagogue, "What is this? What is this?" This is what I want for our church to experience: the presence of God, transformation caused by love and grace, and the wonder of what can this be as we and the communities we live and work and serve in see Jesus at work. I love this church. I love you all. And I love the deep work of God I experience here. May we lovingly build one another up as we experience the power of the Spirit and find out just what Jesus has to do with us. Amen.